And welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient, outpatient program, or a yeshiva for the next upcoming year, please give us a call, 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually sit next to and show. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Remember, all calls are kept strictly confidential. Tonight, I'm really honored to have on our show once again a dear friend, a colleague, somebody that works tirelessly with Klal, and that is Rabbi Shuly Halpert. I'd like to welcome you on. How are you, Rabbi?
Thank you. Doing well, Baruch Hashem. How are you? Thank you for having me once again.
Yeah, thank you. I know that you run back and forth from Jersey to New York, looking for the best yeshivas for families. I'd like you to tell my listeners why you're working 20, maybe how many years? 25 is it yet, or 23 years?
Not quite, 18.
Oh, eight, but I know you 20 some years.
Oh yes, close to 25.
Right. But for the last 18 years, I'd like you to share with my listeners what you do, please. Because you are a businessman. You only volunteer. I don't know if you work more hours as a volunteer or as a businessman. I'd like you to let us know which job you work more hours on.
Okay, so I'll review very quickly again. As I do every time I'm on your show, it's not the first and it's not the second. I actually got to know Mrs. Clapton, Mrs. Kitsky, and Mask about 25 years ago when my wife and I were going through a period of time dealing with our sons who were in the upper level of elementary school and getting ready to go to high school and was not really fitting in where he belonged. But I have to set the table that this was 1999 and 2000. The world was a different place. I can't even begin to describe what, call it the streets, what the streets was like in 1999 or 2000. It wasn't a great place. But if I had to compare it to what the street is today, it was a safe haven almost.
I agree.
You know, there was no at risk. There were no off the main scene yeshivas. Besides MAPS, there were no organizations dealing with any kind of issue helping teenagers or young adults or even adults for any kind of help, including, you know, schooling, mental health, emotional problems, trauma. MAPS was at the forefront. I found out the hard way. Someone mentioned a Mask to my wife and I, and after a couple of years of struggling through the high school system is when we started to go to Mask meetings. And that's really where my wife and I came from. We learned to adjust how to talk to teenagers. I don't want to get into specifics because there are so many trains of thought today. And all I do is listen when it comes to that. I never guide anybody that this is the right way because, like I said, it's 18 years and I still have not figured it out. Because every time you think you can classify where the problem is in a specific home. I'll show you another home that doesn't have any of those issues, and they'll still deal with one, hopefully not more than one, but sometimes maybe two and three children in their own home. So, you know, it's been a very, very long road. And when my son got married, I started on a very small level. I've been in the same real estate management business for almost 40 years. And I started as a volunteer, just letting parents know about two things, that I got through the system. And if you need help finding yeshiva, yeshivas are opening up. And also, if you want a little help on what I think, or at least I thought at that time, is the way to communicate with teenagers, the world was changing. It's certainly not the European style that myself and maybe the generation before me grew up. The style had to change a little bit in order to deal with what society was like in those days. So now let's fast forward 20, 25 years. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what has transpired today, hundreds, certainly over the years, thousands of boys and girls that are struggling, did struggle. Many of them have come all the way back and then some. And I have to put in a sort of a rider here. I'm not a yeshiva basher. The yeshiva system is turning out tens of thousands of unbelievable yeshiva bachram, boys, Beit Yaakov, girls. But certainly the spotlight is on those kids that are struggling. I'm not going to give you a percentage because I'm not into statistics. If there were only 10 kids in the United States struggling, that would be too much. So let's not focus on what the yeshiva system per se is doing all wrong. Let's rather try to help these boys and girls navigate to what's going on today. I want to just point out I'll do it very quickly. The Yeshiva of Waterbury at Teresh Shul, the Basifka, which today is in, this name of the city escapes me for a minute. It's about a half hour outside of Waterbury. When they opened more than 20 years ago, they were the alternative because there was the mainstream yeshivas and public school. There really were no other options. And they decided to open the yeshiva that if you're falling out of the yeshiva system 20 years ago, instead of falling to the street, they can try and help you. So if you want to look at it on the map, the mainstream was one place, the streets was a mile away, and Waterbury, and I'm only mentioning Waterbury today because they were really the first. Now, fast forward more than 20 years, the yeshiva system has moved to the right, and respectfully, rightfully so, because they're so afraid of the street. The street has moved 100 miles to the left, and Waterbury was left with a quandary. Do we stay the same distance away from the mainstream or the same distance away from the street? Which one is it going to be? And they decided, I'm sure under Das Torah, to stay next to the street. Nobody should fall into the street. Baruch Hashem, over these 20 years, dozens and dozens of yeshivas have opened that are so-called off the mainstream. I don't like to use the word at risk because every yeshiva bachur in Beit Yaakov world today technically is at risk for what's going on in the street. So there's many, many more options, although, and many gedolim are addressing this today, there's way more options for boys than there are for girls. And I have to tell you, when I started doing this work, I met at least five boys at a time before I was brought a girl that was struggling. Today, it's at least even. And it's not because the boy problem has gone away, but the issue with girls, and it's much more complicated. And we don't have enough schools for girls outside the mainstream. But today, we have 10 levels of schools. And you need to decide, you need to decide what level this boy or girl is on so we can place them properly. Even in the out of the mainstream, you put them in a school too high, it's not going to work. And if you put them in a school too low, chances are over 90%, they're going to gravitate to a lower hashkafa level than they are right now. So you really need to do homework and try to figure out which school or which group of school would be the best fit. And that's certainly the overriding reason when parents call me or my partner, Mike Rosenthal, who works with me. The first thing is you have to meet the boy or a girl so we can do our own 45-minute analysis of the parents and the teenagers. Sometimes even pre-teenagers. I'm dealing with seventh graders today. That's how crazy the world is getting. And eighth graders. I try to figure out which is the best possibility. Where could this boy or girl grow? That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Well, thank you for that. And Rabbi, I do want to just comment on some things you brought up. And number one is, yes, when we started, kids were 15, 14, 15, 16. Today, seventh grade, getting even younger. So that's number one. Number two is that, yes, when I started MASC, which now I'm in my 27th year, and I've spoken to over 120 some thousand people in those years. It was 1.5 girls to 5 boys. Today, it's 6 plus girls to 1 boy. We have more girls than boys. You're right. That is how we have been seeing it as well. And the issue with girls is, and with boys too, but mainly girls, if you put the girl in the wrong school, when you do figure out that she doesn't belong in the regular mainstream school and it doesn't work, they don't want to go to school anymore. They don't give it another try at all. Boys, somehow, they do give it more tries than the girls. And like you said, Rabbi, there's a very limited choice for girls, which makes it even more difficult. But the boys can put on a hat and, you know, get better. And the girls get really stuck and lost behind for a longer period of time. So, yeah, girls are definitely more than boys today. Rabbi, what I've seen over all these 27 years is that parents see the boys quicker than they see the girls. The boys, they stop putting on tefillin, they don't go to minyan, they change their dress code, you know, a colored shirt, putting on jeans, whatever it may be. And girls are more private and do things more under the blanket, listening to music on Shabbos, texting, doing certain, you know, things that you don't know about. The parent doesn't really find out until later. Do you have that experience as well?
Absolutely. If I had to, it's a sad comment, but it's also a happy comment. I know boys learning in Eretz Yisrael in Kollel with 2 or 3 kids, Kenayin Hara, doing phenomenally. And trust me, I know what they did when they were 15 and 16 years old. But for a reason that we don't have enough time to get into, boys get away with it and girls don't. Girls, their whole Jewish life is based on tznius. Nothing else. Not how well they can learn or they can't learn or how they produce. Of course, we do believe there is scholastic levels in girls' schools, but I'm talking about the girls who are struggling. The first way they show their struggle is with that sneeze. You're right. They're not wearing tefillin. They're not learning. They're cutting down on the learning. When a girl is in pain, the sneeze is almost always the first thing that suffers. I'll give you just a quick example, and I tell this to parents all the time, and they really need to work on themselves because, you know, they get hit with this problem and they just don't know how to react. You know, a girl comes down Matzoy Shabbos and tells her mother, "I'm going out tonight with my friends." "Oh, where are we going?" "Ah, we're going. Somebody has a friend who has a car. I'll be home at 11 o'clock." And the mother notices that a button on her blouse is open that's normally supposed to be closed. So what does the mother do? She goes and closes the button that the girl on the blouse that the girl is wearing. Now let's analyze what is happening here. The girl does not react. She does nothing. But I'll tell you what happens as soon as she steps out and the door closes. The girl goes and opens the button.
She opens. Button she up. Opens two buttons.
Or two buttons. But even worse, the mother goes upstairs and strokes her pride, unfortunately. "I taught my daughter tznius." And they really believe that. And Chatzis Shalom, I'm not judging them. I've seen it. I've been there. I know what it means. We don't touch a teenager's clothing today. I had a mother once tell me when I told her that, "What are you talking about? I diapered this girl for so many years. You're telling me I can't touch their clothing?" I said, "When a girl is struggling, there's privacy. Don't touch it." "So what should I do?" I said, "I don't have the answers for you, but I'll give you a quick, light answer. Next time she comes down and the button's open, don't ever touch the button. Just tell her you heard the weather forecast. It's supposed to be really cold. Maybe you want to close the button." And she'll get the drift. It's a joke. It's a light joke. My mother is not happy that the button is open, but she'll never touch my clothing. Now, the girl in the original case learned one thing from her mother when she closed her button. "I will never go downstairs with that button open. I'm going to lead a so-called double life. I'll wait till not only does the door close, but the camera that's on top of the front door, I'm out of reach on the camera, and then I'll do whatever I want." And you made a divide in your relationship with your daughter. And it's so hard. The mother wants so badly for the girl to fall back into place in 20 minutes, or in a week, or in 2 months, or in 6 months. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And therefore, the girls, they just get turned off. And it's very hard when a girl loses her tznius. It's not like a boy. We just come back and go put back on the same clothing. It just doesn't work that way. And that's why we see so many more girls with tattoos, because they're in such pain. And if you talk to somebody who's in the mainstream and has no exposure to this, they might tell you, even in a nice way, "What are you talking about? She got a tattoo because she has a Yetzirah and it looks nice." And then you don't even think about talking to them of what it means when a girl cuts herself, how much pain she's in. She's trying to relieve the pain. But people who are not in the trenches don't understand that. And therefore, they react accordingly. And then, just to sort of summarize this issue, there are Kinayin Hara, hundreds, thousands of families out there whose all their kids are thriving. They're all superstars. They're all doing great. As I myself also, I'm very proud of them. But don't think for a minute that you are free from this nisayon. The only reason you're free is because somebody was mispalo on your behalf, that this nisayon that's going on in the world today, you will not have to suffer from. Because think it's because you have this all figured out. I'll show you 20 families in your neighborhood that did everything that you did at home and ran their Shabbos table the way you do and talked to their kids the way you did, and it didn't work. We haven't figured it out yet. I don't know when we will, but we have to work with what we have. There's so much help out there. You got to reach out, and you should not be ashamed to reach out.
Thank you. Yes, and reaching out does not mean only to MASK. Baruch Hashem, there are many organizations out there, but MASK offers parenting groups on Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackerman by Zoom. On Tuesday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld by Zoom. On Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben Sion Twersky by Zoom. on Wednesday night in person in the Five Towns, Cheryl Friedman. On Sunday night, we have From Second Marriages, Bringing Up Each Other's Children, Yeshaya Krause. And then we have on once a month, on the first Tuesday of the English calendar, Dr. Trish Atiyah in Brooklyn in person. So anyone that wants to join the parent support group that Rabbi Halpert attended himself 25 years ago, every week with his wife consistently for a long time. We are still going at it. So give us a call at 718-758-0400. Rabbi Halpert, you bring up a very good point. We have wonderful yeshivas out there, really wonderful yeshivas. Kids are doing wonderful. And sadly, we have thousands and thousands of children that are struggling, whether they're, you know, at risk, whether they have mental health diagnosis, whether there was, you know, a trauma, molestation, whatever it may be. I'd like you, if you can share, but very confidentially, by changing, you know, some of the details so it's not noticeable to anyone listening. If you can just tell us when you do have difficulties in placing somebody in a yeshiva.
Okay, so I'll try and condense as best as I can. But let me touch on two of the subjects, and you actually mentioned both of them. The first one I'm going is divorce and or separation. It just breaks my heart to talk about what I've seen and I see on a daily and weekly basis. The percentages of a child from a divorced home or a separated home, of them struggling, goes up by an astronomical number. It's just the way it is. You know, unfortunately, and I've said this many times, Layalenu, when there's a yachim, the whole family comes together, friends, outer circles, inner circles, they surround this yachim or yatina, and everybody takes a part in it, and the child feels like the whole world is there for them. Unfortunately, by divorce and by separation, it's not that way. There are family controversies going on, and the child very often is left alone. And just sitting in a classroom today, when there isn't a father and mother in play in the same house, the child feels so isolated that the slightest reason for them to start to struggle will set them off. And I haven't come up with an answer for it yet, other than we really need to stop the infighting when it comes to the children. I am not by no means a marriage counselor or a therapist. All I'm saying is, whatever happens when it comes to the children, don't let them be a consequence of what's going on in your home, because it'll happen in a minute. You need to keep in mind what's best for the child. Which brings us to the second topic, and that is the general topic of therapy, social work, medication, etc. I'm a real estate businessman, I'm a volunteer. I can only comment on those issues based on my experience of the thousands of kids that I've met in the last 18 years. Sometimes I think back and I can't believe it's thousands, but I see it almost every day because people say hello to me and teenagers say hello to me. And I just don't remember every single one because I'm meeting on average 3 to 4 families a week now. And the numbers are getting higher every year. I mean, in the last 5 years, I probably have seen 3 times the amount of people I saw in the first 10 or 12 years, because that's what's going on in the world. So to give my opinion, there's phenomenal medication out there today. Every individual case has to be dealt with the individual doctor, psychologist, or psychiatrist to make those decisions. Then you take those decisions from the doctor, put it together with your Rav, with your Das Torah, and come to the best decision possible about what to do. And I know on this particular point, parents come to me in the eighth grade, I have an application to fill out. They want to know if I'm taking medication. What am I supposed to write? Now, sometimes I chuckle because 25 years ago, that question was, do you have a television in your house? Today, that question is not asked anymore. The question is, do you have internet at your house? But they're also asking if you're on medication. That's what you have a rub for. I'm not here to potskin how to answer those questions, but that's what you need. And when it comes to social work and therapy and mentors, there's so much help out there. Don't be afraid that you're the only person that's going to get a therapist. Trust me. It's the elephant in the room, and it's very healthy. And I know there's a lot of controversy out there about psychologists and therapists, and this one is good and that one is no good, and they're driving a wedge between the patient and their parents. Obviously, you need to do your homework. There is a lot of experience out there that you have to read through. Speak to people, talk to them. I have personal relationships with many therapists, social workers, psychologists, and psychiatrists. Some of them are the most fascinating people in the world, and they're there to help you. So you need to reach out. That's it. Get educated. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. And here's the real kicker. Stop worrying about someone finding out or what your neighbor is going to say. And that is like a top covering on all of these topics. Don't think about what someone else is going to say. This is about your child. Take care of your child. Don't be busy with what someone else is going to say, number one, and find the right school for your kids. Don't measure it up to somebody else or worry about what your resume is going to look like. That's not what life is all about. And I would tell you, maybe off the record, but I'm going to say it on the record. If someone looks at your resume and doesn't like someone things on there, you know what? Not only are they right, they're not for you, but you're not for them either.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for all your information and for all the good work, Rabbi Halpert, that you and your partner do every day to help these families get right yeshiva. And I do want to say about medication before we close is that even if your child needs some medicine while they're in school to get through school, remember that going through high school, if they're not on meds, if they need for ADD or anything else, they will struggle and then may drop out. So instead of that, get them on meds if that's what the psychiatrist orders. Well, anybody that wants to reach Rabbi Halpert, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. And I personally will make sure that Rabbi Halpert and or his partner get back to you. Thank you again, Rabbi. Hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you very much. Keep up your great work. And thank you to Zev Brenner. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and hug tight. Tonight's show is in honor of all the Chayalim. Bring the hostages home. Now, please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so we can continue with all the mask programs. Thank you and good Shabbos.